irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is October 5th. We're coming at you at the speed of sound.
Whoa.
Right? Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fast.
Fast. Very
yes.
fast.
Sonic
as fast
boom.
As you can hear us.
That's right.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Wow, you're blasting your ears over there with
the
headphones.
I like it a little louder.
Huh?
There you go.
I know. There you go. But you put it way high. I'm like, where is she going with that one? I know. Sometimes people leave the volume really high on the headphones here, and then you just blast people's ears.
Yeah.
So I always look twice at this thing to make sure we're considerate of our guests.
Considerate, aren't we?
Today we do not have special guests. We do not have studio guests, but we're going to have
a special
guest calling online on the phone later on. So Tori, you I'm sure watched the entire debate.
No, it was too boring.
Really?
Yeah,
I told you it would be.
Man, it was watching tree grow.
Really?
I mean, trees grow. Yeah, it was boring.
Like paint dry.
Oh yeah. Oh,
wow.
Grass grown. No, they talked over each other, and even at one time the moderator was like, "Gentlemen, no one can understand you because
really?
You're just talking on top
Whoa.
Of each." So it was. Yeah, I don't think Kane did really well. I think Pence did okay. I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm
right?
sorry.
Who
I don't cares? Care.
You got the election won already, right?
I don't think this really does anything. I don't think VP debates really do anything unless someone makes a huge gaffe or something. You know what I mean?
That's true. But they're saying it might actually help Trump a little bit.
Pence did look, I mean, he looked like a human adult.
Really?
So that helped Trump.
That's good.
Yeah. He looked like he was a reasonable human
Maybe
being.
He should be the one running then.
Yeah. Well, I think he thinks that too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But Gary Johnson's running mate. Geld, he's the third party. He has dropped out. So Gary Johnson, the guy who didn't know what Aleppo was or couldn't name a single foreign leader, both living or dead, now has no VP.
Right.
So I guess he's just swimming alone.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know what he was thinking, but
maybe he should drop out too.
They're saying that his people might actually go to Trump.
Oy,
so, yeah, I don't know. That was sort of the analysis here.
Okay. Well, Gary Johnson.
So I'm not sorry I missed it. I didn't figure I'd miss much.
No.
So, and I'm trying to read some of the opinions and stuff on it.
Even the opinions are boring.
Even the opinions are boring. There you go.
It's so bad. But I did watch a really good show. It's a new show called... it's on HBO, and it's with Anthony Hopkins, and it's Westernworld, and it's so good.
I've heard of it.
And
is
it's
that
just like, it's J.J. Abrams and Jonathan Nolan, and it's one of those Evan Rachel Wood, Ed Harris. It was great.
Really?
Oh, yes.
So that's like a series now? Or
yes. What? I'm just looking it up
okay.
to get some more info.
And
but
is
yeah,
that based on the movie where
correct.
They had, what was it like a theme park with robots
Correct.
And stuff?
It's exactly. Okay. And Yul Brynner was in it.
Right.
And the 1970, it was actually a book as well.
Right.
And now it's, it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
I needed a TV show like Westworld to get into, to dive into, to have questions. Mm. Really great, really great. And J.J.
Really?
Abrams did Lost, so
right.
he's back on board. And it's a lot of questions.
He did Star Wars too,
yeah.
the new one.
But it's like it feels like Lost a little bit, where you're like totally invested, but you don't know what the hell is going on.
Really?
Very
I love
good.
That.
Very good.
Wow.
So I did have to turn on the subtitles anytime Anthony Hopkins started speaking. He's like, Harry, Harry.
It's amazing, though, how... So many movie stars are getting into TV.
Oh my
now,
God!
Right?
Yeah, and it's but this is like movie star. This is HBO. Like it's almost like a movie every time.
Yeah.
It's just like a movie. It's
wow.
just excellent. James Marsden. It's really good. And
okay.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it. They just aired the pilot. I think there might be 8 episodes on HBO, but it's you can't binge it.
Mm.
So it's like only out once yeah. a week, and I'm like dying over here.
Right. Right. So well, maybe I'll just wait for the video and then. I'll be
no,
able
you
to
gotta
binge
see.
Watch
no, go
it.
To HBO Go. I'll
but
give you
I
my
can't
password.
Binge watch, yeah.
But they don't allow you to binge watch. You want to, but you can't. So it's
right.
once every
yeah.
week. So
right.
good for them.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I wouldn't binge. I mean, the most I can watch a movie is 20 minutes at a time. So when
you
I
can't watch
a movie.
Full movie. Oh, really?
Yeah, unless I go to the theater. But at
right.
home, Yeah, I mean, as soon as the popcorn's gone, that's it, you know? I'm like, on to the next thing, you know? Pick up a book or
attention
something.
Attention vanishes.
Yes, yes, you know?
Well, that's why this is better. It's like a, I think it's an hour?
Yeah, an hour, I think I could, well, maybe I could handle
it. It's really good. It's really, really good.
I remember with Lost also, it would take me 2-3 times to watch an episode.
Yeah. Lost was great if you were into it from the beginning, but it did get like, where's the panda, the polar bears and the smoke monster? What's happening here?
Right.
But it was a great show. It was great,
it was.
Great show.
And in fact, that one was binge watching for me. It's the only one I did.
Yeah.
Because I watched it after the fact.
Right. You and know? You can just binge the hell out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was a great show. I mean, I was totally invested in it.
Oh, of course. That's, you would love this.
Yeah.
You would love it.
I know I would. Yeah. In fact, I started watching Future World, which was a sequel to Western World.
Yes.
So just the other day, so it's funny that they came out with this thing, but maybe it's not a coincidence that Amazon put that one up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
As soon as
I'm sure it's not. No, Westworld, I had 2 thumbs up from me, which counts for nothing, but I really liked it.
Yeah. There you go. But it's a pretty cool idea, you know, with robots.
And there's some twists. And what they do is they put their trust into the audience's intellect. So they don't give you an expose. They don't say this is a theme park. You are just thrown into this shit. And you're like, what is happening? So I really like when they expect us to be smart enough to figure it out. You know what
I love that. That's like Twilight Zone.
It's great. It was excellent.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool.
Yes. Better than the VP debate.
Yeah, I know. But they're saying, you know, I don't know. I guess polls are saying Mike Pence won. But then again, who cares, right?
Really, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if tomorrow anybody's going to remember that.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think in a year you can remember Mike Pence's name. That's the sad part.
So people don't even know
his name now.
Yeah. I know.
No.
But talking about vice presidents, I guess Al Gore now is going to hit the trail for Hillary.
So the whole time I was like, hey, why isn't Gore out there for Clinton? Because he's really the voice of global warming. And you'd think that she would want to get those environmental tree huggers on her side, I am of one. So I thought, what's going on? And then I thought, oh, Gore and Clinton might not like each other. Mm. Because why hadn't he been on the trail earlier? So good to hear that he's getting on the trail.
Yeah, but is it a wise thing? I mean, he's not remembered as a winner in any...
In global warming, climate change, he is.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to go after winning as VP. No, he...
But he also said he invented the internet.
Well, he actually came up... If you go back, he did help create legislation to create the internet. He did, but he said it like a jackass. But you think Trump hasn't said dumber shit?
He has.
Thank you.
He has, but I'm not saying Trump is okay.
No,
I'm
also
Al Gore may not be the right person. But then again, on the Democratic side,
he's very big for climate change. He's the face of climate change. And to be honest, he's also quite boring.
Yeah,
to be honest,
right. He is.
So I hope he does short. Happy little speeches, because he can just go on. Yeah,
that's true. He can.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah. So he was vice president with Bill Clinton,
mm-hmm.
and then he ran against George Bush and
won.
Lost. Well, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no. He probably did.
Yeah, Scalia kind of took that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, that was some election.
Oh,
huh?
God. Remember the hanging Chads?
Yeah.
And then if you named your kid Chad, you're like, fuck. I got this guy. Oh, that's like when you name your kid Katrina right before the hurricane hit. Oh, God. I felt so bad.
Wow.
I met a woman yesterday named ISIS.
Oh, yeah. Because ISIS was the Egyptian.
So I feel so bad for
right?
her.
Right?
And I was like, oh, my gosh, your name. She goes, yeah, just like the terrorist. I was like, man, that sucks.
No.
I would change it to like Izzy or something. Something.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's what do you do when you name those things, you know? But that was quite an election, I remember, and there was no winner for a few days, a couple weeks actually, no?
It was crazy. Florida, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens with this election. Anything could happen now.
I think it should be pretty clear. Let's hope it's clear. Let's just hope.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, and as you talk to people, you find more and more people are for Trump, but they don't come out and say it, you know. And we were talking about that yesterday, and people don't, you know, they're embarrassed or afraid to say they support Trump. And I'm saying, how can you vote for someone? How can you have a president where people are afraid to show their support for him? I mean,
I think people who, again, I'll say it again, I think people who like Trump are very vocal. It's just not a near. We don't know anybody like that.
Yeah.
But those who like Trump, I think, are rabid online and they're very pro-Trump. But I just don't think we know anybody.
No, that's true. But I also find that many people do want to vote for him or feel they have to vote for him because they want to vote Republican.
Yeah.
And I'm like that, too. But I'm thinking a little beyond that. And I'm thinking, well, he doesn't really represent me or even
or America
or even the Republicans, you know,
or the Constitution.
He just represents Donald Trump pretty much.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it makes it easier to separate him from the Republican Party, also because he was a Democrat for like 45 years.
Right, exactly.
So it's like ridiculous, you know.
I know. That's why he has to take everything back now.
Oh,
people
yeah.
are comparing everything to what he said.
Yeah.
Well, he's not taking anything back, but he has to keep getting more involved in the lies and the bullshit.
Digging that hole deeper and deeper.
Yeah, you know. Who knows? What else is going on in the news? Anything new? You're going to go on out of town for a while?
Yes, I'm going to go visit my father's turning 70.
Wow, congratulations, Daddy.
Thank you very much.
How cool is that,
very,
huh?
Yes.
So that means he was born in...
46. Is that... I'm making it. I think that's right.
No, 46, okay, yeah.
No, yeah. My mother was born in 48, and she graduated at the class of 69.
Really?
And her graduation like hat said 69, and people were like asking for it for money, and she's like, I don't get it. And I'm like, oh, jeez. All righty.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so 47. Wow. No, you said he was born in 46.
Yep.
46, yeah. So that would be 60, 70 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, my dad was born 1933, man.
Crazy.
Can you believe it?
No.
Before World War II started.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. But you know what? The amazing thing was that, I think our guest is calling, so we'll take that now.
Right on.
We'll go back to that story. It was pretty interesting. So we're going to be joined by Rebecca Metz. Rebecca, you with us?
Yes, hello.
Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, this is Sam with Tori, in case they didn't tell you what show you're going on. Because sometimes
I know.
They don't.
I've been listening.
There you go.
Agreeing with everything you're talking about.
Awesome.
I'm totally participating already.
All right.
Sounds good. So, Rebecca, I take it you're in L.A. I can tell from your area code.
Yes.
So, maybe next time you'll be able to come in and stuff. We'll make you enjoy the interview so much that maybe next time you'll come in. But we're so happy.
That would be wonderful. I would love to.
Yeah. So, but thank you so much for calling in, Rebecca. You're an actress. You're a busy actress. And you're in a couple of shows. I see. Well, let's find out a little bit about you, Rebecca. Are you originally from L.A.?
I am originally from New Jersey.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Nice.
I'm an East Coast
kid. Yeah, girl.
Both my parents are from Queens, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I went to drama school and sort of, you know, you have the choice between going to New York or L.A., and I figured I kind of already know New York, and I got off the plane here after. I went to school in Pittsburgh, where it's very cold for much of the year.
Right.
Love Pittsburgh, but it's cold. And so I got off the plane here, and I was like, oh, this is a nice change.
Yeah.
Let's do this for a while. Yeah, exactly. Angels sang. And I love it, and I've been here like 20 years.
Nice.
At this point. So I think I'm... like unofficially native at this point.
I think so too.
There you go. Well, it is home for you now, obviously. So so you moved for the work and the weather, right? That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. Was there a lot of acting work in New York back then?
There, I mean, New York and LA are kind of the two places where there is a lot of acting work. There's,
right.
At the time, it was kind of more focused in theater, and New York, of course, is still really the home of theater in the U.S., although there's a great theater scene in Los Angeles, too, which I've been a part of.
Right.
I was really interested in getting into television. And, you know, The Sopranos and what's going on with cable right now was just starting to happen when I moved out here. And so it's been, like, really exciting to be a part of that. And that's, you know, ended up being the kind of stuff that I've worked on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, very cool.
I went to New York. I lived in New York to do theater, and then I moved to L.A. because I couldn't make any money.
Yeah.
Theater is, like,
well,
wonderful,
is
but you know what I mean? Like, the money in TV is just so much more lovely.
Yeah, it's nice.
Nice. So you decided to move to L.A. Was it difficult for you in the beginning, finding work and things like that?
A little bit. I had weird day jobs, like I think most people do when they first get to LA, and it took a little getting used to just because it's really different out here than on the East Coast. You know, I was lucky that I didn't, like, get off the bus and know nobody like so many people do. I had a lot of friends out here, and so we all kind of found our way around together.
That's cool.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. So I did telemarketing. I did all the, like, SAT tutoring, all the things.
Yeah,
that
yeah. That's
right.
That's so the resume of someone just like me. You know what I mean? You worked at some random pet shop, then you were an SAT tutor, then you were a nanny.
Yeah, then you made coffee.
Yeah, you make coffee really well. Yeah.
And then you realize no one's going to discover you doing any of those things.
Right.
Start, like,
right.
actually doing the work you're supposed to do.
Totally.
To
totally.
Acting.
Yeah. Well, that's very nice. So how did you get started? I mean, did you have to get an agent and that, or did you pretty much go after the jobs yourself?
Kind of a combination. The school that I went to did kind of a showcase thing in New York and L.A. where we came out and did, you know, our scenes and monologues for a bunch of agents and casting directors. And so I had some casting directors knew me. Some people got signed with an agent right away. I did not. Mm-hmm. And so I came out.
This
here
is my story.
Kind of, right?
Yeah.
We should have coffee.
I know. We need a drink.
I came out here and, you know, it was sort of like, okay, I guess I have to do my own hustling. And so I spent a few years getting auditions from the casting directors who knew me and booking a few jobs. And it's a lot easier to get an agent once you can say, hey, I already got a few jobs. Mm-hmm. Would you like some of this money? Which is kind of what I did.
Which is like a catch 22. Like, yeah, exactly. You can't get an agent unless you're in something, but you have to be in something to get an agent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So once I booked a few things on my own, it was easier to convince people that I was worth taking a shot on. And it's been kind of a slow and steady build since then. And now, like you said, I'm very lucky to be busy and working on great shows.
Right. And it's not really luck. I mean, you've put in your dues, I think, you know, for many years and stuff. And you finally get on the
That's
right,
true.
You know, you get on the right wave and then it starts building and stuff. So getting to the present then, Rebecca. So you're busy now. Tell us a little bit about the shows you're on.
So right now I'm recurring on two excellent shows, if I do say so myself. The first is I'm in my third season on Shameless on
yes.
Showtime, which people probably know, yes. William H. Macy, amazing, you know, Emmy nominations and amazing acting and amazing writing and all that stuff. So I've been on that for three seasons working in a diner called Patsy's Pies mm-hmm. with Emmy Rossum's character Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of a bad attitude, wisecracking waitress who loves her, but shows it in strange ways. And then the other show I'm on right now is a show called Better Things, which is new on FX.
Uh-huh.
It's a Pamela, the main actress and the woman who writes it and stars in it and is a director and showrunner. Her name is Pamela Adlon. People
I'm
might
so
know her.
Obsessed with she her.
Did, really? Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
She did the voice of Bobby Hill on King of the Hill. She was on Californication. She's been one of those actors that people just love forever, but she never had her own show.
Mm-hmm.
And
she was on Louis, remember? She was Louis's wife.
Yeah. She and Louis C.K. have been kind of creative partners
right.
for a long time. She's also a producer and writer on Louis. And so when FX asked him sort of, you know, they were talking about having another show and creating a show around a woman. And I think the story is that he suggested her. And so they created this show together. He's a co-writer on it, but it's really her vision.
Yeah.
And it's kind of semi-autobiographical. She's, it's about a working actress, single mom raising three daughters, which is kind of Pam's life. it's really funny. It's really touching. It's kind of hard to categorize.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
It's that new,
you know,
dramedy,
a,
isn't it? It's like that new version.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's kind of the kind of show I like because I
too.
Think that's kind of how life is.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny sometimes. It's agonizing sometimes.
Yeah. Right. It's not. Yeah. It's not like people clapping in the corner after every joke. It's like it's hard. You know.
Yeah. Life doesn't give you three jokes per page.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But that's cool. So I'm looking up Pamela Adlon now, and I totally recognize her from Californication.
Yeah.
So
yep.
So this is cool. Yeah, she's a great actress.
She's a cutie pie.
Yeah.
She's super cutie pie. And, like, She's exactly like you think she is in life. She's just as wonderful. Mm-hmm. She's just as lovable. And, you know, she's that person. She's everything you hope she's going to be. I had such an amazing time working on this show, and it's being really well received, which makes me really happy.
A lot of critical acclaim, and I think she totally deserves it. She's totally put in her due, so both of you deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying, like, thank God somebody finally gave Pam a show.
Exactly.
It's nice to see that kind of reaction.
And you don't see a lot of single mom in their 40s, whatever, that age group isn't represented at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's good, too.
Yeah, and it's getting a lot of credit from moms for being a very realistic portrayal of raising three kids, for better or worse. You know, it's not... it doesn't always wrap up tidily at the end of half hour. It's messy and funny and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like when Louis, the divorced dad, it was never like easy. It was just like they showed how authentic it was, which was great.
Yeah, and I think people like watching imperfect parents because, you know, that's how parents really are.
It's not like Happy Days anymore, people.
Yeah.
No. Right. Yeah. This show will not make you feel bad about your parenting. It'll make you want to go, like, hang out with her and
yeah,
have a drink.
That's great.
That's nice. So, no, I mean, you must have been, like, totally ecstatic to get a recurring role.
Yeah, what did you do? Like, did you do a happy dance? Like, how did you hear? Tell us
the
phone
like,
call.
Jump?
Yeah. Did you jump?
There might have been a few tears. Like, this show in particular... as soon as I heard that it was happening, I wanted to be a part of it. The casting director is someone I've worked with before. Her name's Felicia Pisano. She's incredible. She cast Californication, and so she cast me on Californication or brought me in for it. And so she brought me in for this show. And it's sometimes you have these auditions where you're like, I just have to try not to look as crazy excited as I am because they'll think I'm a crazy person and they won't want to work with me. So I was like, let's keep it professional. Let's just go in there and play it cool and be a good actor.
Right.
And so when they called, and this one was interesting because everyone who was auditioning read the same material and they sort of said, we don't know who's going to play which character. We're just going to pick the actors we want to work with and figure it all out later.
Wow. I've never heard that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really interesting and kind of a different way to do it and, you know, makes it more suspenseful for the actors. So basically, you know, they called and were like, okay, so you're playing somebody, we just don't know who.
Oh my God.
I was like, well, I am dying to find out. So I ended up playing Pam's manager. So I'm sort of on the career side of her life in the show.
That's awesome.
And I did one episode, which aired last week, an episode called Woman Is the Something of the Something, where we go through, she's offered the lead in a pilot, and I kind of don't tell her about it because I think I'm suspicious. Well, I don't want to give away too many spoilers.
I heard, though, it's a very, like, it goes into sexism a lot, that episode specifically.
Yes, it really explores sexism and kind of what women, especially, you know, women of a certain age deal with in the industry.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure what was going to happen with my character after that, but I think the next week, Felicia, the casting director, called me on Sunday and was like, what are you doing tomorrow? They're writing you into a scene.
Oh, wow.
I am free.
I am completely free.
So that's when I got really excited. I was like, this is going to be a thing. So
there you go. And it's a recurring role, so it's a stable job, at least for a while, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. So this is on FX. The show is Better Things. When can people watch it? When does it come on?
It is on... Oh, my God, I'm a DVR. Okay. It's on Thursdays. It's on Thursdays at 10 p.m.
Good.
On FX.
Thursdays at 10, okay. And if people miss it, does it get archived anywhere on demand?
FX has an app, FX Now, that you can catch it on if you have FX. It replays with some, you know, frequency. So if you want to DVR it, you can do that.
Awesome.
I'm not sure if it's on Hulu or...
I know it's on FX Now because we just downloaded that app. But it's so cool that you're on FX because that's like the cool new place to be.
I'm gotten to be on a bunch of FX. So, I mean,
that's the
best. One of the first big things I ever did was Nip Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like... Oh, wow. You know, early softy stuff. So I've had some good experiences.
Yeah, what I read about your in your press, it said something about like the grossest scene in all
the
of Nip Tuck.
Disturbing?
Yeah, what happened?
What does that mean?
That's saying a lot, right? I was a patient of Christian Troy's, and he's really, really mean to me. It was during the like serial killer season. Mm-hmm. And I believe he had just been stood up at the altar by Kimber, so he wasn't in a good mood.
Not a good mood.
And he was really mean to me and sort of said terrible things about me and marked up my body with lipstick. And after my surgery, he sort of invites me back to his apartment and ushers me into his bedroom. And I'm sort of not your sort of typical model Miami woman, so I'm shocked by all of this. And there's a brown paper bag on the bed, and he says, if you want to have sex with me, you have to put that bag on your head.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Yeah, so that's a very disturbing scene.
And I do it, but then it turns out, I come back, and it turns out that this experience has taught me that I'm a masochist. And, you know, I've sort of discovered my inner...
No way!
Wow, there you go. 50 Shades of Grey.
The power dynamic kind of shifts, and I come back and I'm sort of like, I leave the bag on his desk with my phone number, and I'm like, you know, if you wanted to do it again, call me. And I leave him in tears.
Wow. I love that.
Pretty
now we
got to
find that episode.
Yeah.
Nice, I like it.
And... yeah, and it's still a little weird to get recognized from that because, you know, I'm like out and about with my husband and people were like, you're the one with the bag.
Yeah, you got the paper bag, girl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Yep.
Well.
My parents. Super proud.
Yeah, right. My first SAG card I got by getting shot in the boob on CSI Miami. And I was like, my parents are going to be so proud. They not only cropped out my head, they cropped out any noise I made. So it's just literally my boob and me being, ugh. And that was it. And my parents were like,
and
we're
did you like cut together a tape of it and send it everywhere and be like, that's my boob.
And my mom and dad were so proud. And I was like, well, I'm not even in it. But at least you were in it. Good for you.
Well, Rebecca, you obviously have your hands full with work and stuff, and we're really excited for you. How can people find more about you, contact you, maybe social media?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at TheRebeccaMetz, 2 C's. If you hear cats in the background, that's my cat. So Twitter and Instagram at TheRebeccaMetz, and you can also find me online at RebeccaMetz.com and contact me through there and see what's going on. And it's, should I spell my name?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
R-E-B-E-C-C-A.
Ooh.
M-E-T-Z, like the team, but with a Z.
Ooh.
Go Mets.
The Mets. Go Mets.
There you go, Rebecca Metz. So everybody... check out FX's Better Things, Showtime's Shameless. Is Showtime's show still back on? I mean, is it on now?
Yeah, it just started. The first episode of season 7 started last week, so jump on now. You can catch up. There's a bunch of seasons on Netflix. Now, there's a bunch of Showtime seasons on Hulu, so you can catch up. And season 7 is full speed ahead, Gallagher's in all of their shameless glory.
I'm honestly, you're such a role model. You have a career I've always looked forward to. So it's congratulations. Seriously, congratulations.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. Well, it sounds like you and I have a lot in common.
Yeah,
so
but you're getting the role. Yeah, exactly. You're getting those roles. I'm like, see ya.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, that's fantastic.
It'll happen.
Thank you very much.
There you go. And I'm glad to call myself a new fan now that we've talked to you.
Right.
So there you go.
Oh, thank you so much. Likewise.
Of course. And Rebecca, whenever you're in town, you have an hour or two, please stop by. Mm-hmm. On the show so we can meet you in person and find out a little more about you too as a person. So
I will take you up on that.
Okay, sounds great. Rebecca Metz, everybody, check her out. Check out her shows. Thanks again, Rebecca, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. See, I told you you'd get to talk to some cool people.
That's how you do it. She works her butt off.
Yeah.
She wasn't discovered in a coffee shop, you know? Like, she went to school. She did her thing.
Pay
he
their
hustled.
Exactly.
Good
that's what
her.
You got to do, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's great.
When I see the people that sort of just wait for the work to come to them, I feel sorry for them, yeah, you know, because yeah. it's never going to happen.
And you kind of can see it in their eyes, those big wide eyes. I just got off the bus.
Right.
Also, what bus are we getting off of?
Exactly. And
but it's that wide-eyed, it can really happen.
Exactly. You know, like, people don't realize they come from their little hometowns where they're a 10, and they come here and they realize, hey, I'm just a 7, actually, for L.A.
Try 4. Yeah. I was like, what's happening?
It's
there's
like
beautiful
everybody here is a... And did you hear about this club now that's only going to allow beautiful people in?
I can't imagine this is legal. How is that legal? I mean, it's a private institution, so they can do whatever
right,
they want. So
exactly.
they will... I think it's a private club. They will... They will not accept ugly people, quotes, right. into the club. So they can say the bouncer, I guess, has the discretion?
Yes. Yes.
What is it? If he gets a boner, they're in? Like,
I don't think
the
they
deal?
Said we don't take ugly people. They say we only take good-looking people.
All right. So that's saying yeah. they're not taking ugly people.
No, that's true. But they didn't come out
I
and
see,
say it.
I see.
And no, and besides that, I don't think necessarily ugly is the word because... who knows? I mean, everybody starts asking themselves, do I qualify? Do I not qualify? Maybe it's beauty in the eye of the beholder.
Of the
I mean,
bouncer is
yeah,
what it is.
Exactly.
Beauty in the eye of the bouncer.
Exactly.
Like, what objective is this beauty, too?
Right. If he's attracted to them or something.
Yeah,
you
well,
know?
I don't know. I'd put a paper bag on my head and see if it worked out. I'm a feminist.
Yeah, so it's like you wonder where they set the bar, you know? I don't
yeah.
know what the hell it takes, you know?
Also, isn't that every club? They only let in
that's
like the
true,
really
right?
pretty people. I thought
yeah.
that was every club.
Especially the pretty women.
Yeah,
too. Yeah,
come on. That's every club.
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah. yeah. And if they openly do it, then they do it. I mean, I remember there was a lot of controversy when they had a website like this.
Yeah.
And they said,
oh, yeah,
know,
are you hot or not? Remember that.
Yeah.
And you could hit left or right, which one's hot or something. Oh, my God, what a dreadful game that was.
Right, and now you have it in Tinder and
oh,
all the other
God.
Apps.
Yeah, now you're swiping left and right. But
right.
I remember that game, who's hot or not. That's what started this horrible
yeah,
generation.
Right?
that's what started it all.
I know. Well, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, but all I can tell you is that people have to work. To work to get to where they want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no patience for people that just complain.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, and I know a few of those, but I don't approve of being lazy or thinking you're too good to go out there and get work, you know.
Mm-hmm. And also study. If you're trying to be an actor, study, go to classes.
Right.
Do your work.
And if you study, then pursue it.
Pursue
you know?
It. Work
yeah.
at it, yeah.
Do whatever you
hustle
want.
And grind, man. Hustle and grind.
But you gotta really love and want whatever it is that you want to get to, you know, because if you don't, then you give up in the middle. You quit. You say,
yeah.
man, man, man.
There has like, to be something stronger than the negativity to beat that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, your
you know?
Want of it. Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, and talking about negativity, it's like lately I'm seeing so many people in a different light because I'm opening my eyes and I'm realizing, you know, it's like... You know, when I'm near a person and I feel I'm starting to go crazy,
mm-hmm.
I know I'm with a crazy
mm-hmm.
person.
You know, that's funny. You know how they say when you play tennis against someone who's better than you, you play better tennis, right?
Really?
Or if you play someone who's worse,
uh-huh.
you play worse tennis. So it's like when you're with crazy,
yeah.
you start going crazy.
Exactly.
No,
that's how I know it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, normally I'm not like that.
Right.
You know, but then you start wondering, is it me? Is it them? What's going on?
Well, you try and maybe change your environment. You meditate a little bit. But I have to agree. If you find a source of negativity in your life that there's a way to shut off, perhaps
yeah.
that's the best way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you
walk
can't
away from it,
but you can't expect everything to be perfect, too.
Right.
You know, negativity is a part of life. So that's also hard.
That's true. You know, but too much of it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and if you don't pay attention to it, you realize.
Yeah. Be aware.
Yeah.
Be aware.
Just later that,
yes.
oh, this is all affecting me.
Oh, yes. Train that monkey mind.
Yeah.
In Buddhism, they call it the monkey mind.
Really?
Yeah, but Pema, my teacher, calls hers like, what does she call it? Like an elephant mind. She's like, mine's way worse. But she said the idea is to train the mind will always jump back and forth, back and forth, and it's your job not to to tame it.
Yeah.
So it's not your brain's job. You have to be in control.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is
but
hard.
How do you do that?
You
not
meditate. You
do
meditate.
It. Yeah, I guess you can, right?
Yeah, that's how you tame that mind, man.
Yeah.
I think mine's more of like a mosquito. It's just like...
yeah, well, a lot is happening. How many days till the election? What do we have? Till November So probably exactly a month from now,
soon,
right?
Soon's coming up, baby.
Yeah.
Something like 35, 30, couple days. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like November, what, 7th?
Mm-hmm.
And today's October 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's almost a month.
Get on
Just
it.
A month. Wow. Yeah, that's going to be exciting, man. Almost like a football game, you know? The Super Bowl.
Yeah, right? The worst Super Bowl ever. No, it'll be good.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, a long time ago, I predicted the landslide by Hillary. How long ago? I can't even remember. I may have written it in Facebook, but somehow I wanted to document that because that's how I felt many months ago, and I guess I still do.
Yeah, not much has changed.
No.
He's turned more orange.
Yeah, you know.
She's gotten better.
He's turned more orange. You know, but I was thinking about those pictures of his kids, that they should be in Westworld, right? They look like robots.
So there was a picture they put of themselves. You can Google it. It's a meme of the three of them. Yeah. And they're standing in an office and they're just not smiling and just staring at the camera.
Right, like robots.
And they look, Twitter storm went crazy. They look like children of the corn.
Yeah, right.
It's terrifying. I mean, they look crazy. And I do think Ivanka Trump is pretty, but she can be a little scary if you don't accessorize her correctly. You know, she can be a little artificial intelligence to me. And the sons just look like they got nothing behind them.
Yeah.
Those two sons, whew.
I know. What a family. Can you imagine them as our royal family here? My God.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, what else is going on? Let's see. There's a rapper that checked into rehab. Kid Cudi, have you heard of him?
I don't know these people.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're more this generation.
No, he checked in for depression. Good for him. And it brings it to the forefront. Anyone with depression, it opens up the dialogue. So good for him to announce that.
And I think that many people don't realize there's rehab for depression
as
well.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have to be hooked on a drug.
Yeah.
To go into rehab. And in fact, I went into a place like that. I can openly say that. It was many years ago. And when I still thought I had depression, but I actually had bipolar disorder.
And if you're misdiagnosed and you're bipolar, it can be a dreadful life.
It really
it
is.
Really
you know.
Can.
Or if you're not medicated
That's
at all.
That's what I mean. If you aren't stabilized in the right medicine and people aren't diagnosing you correctly, I've known many bipolar people that weren't diagnosed, and it's hell. Until
it's destructive.
It is. Until you get that stabilization, it's like a hell.
It really is, you know. And, I mean, look at myself now. People always go, oh, you seem like the mellowest person.
Right. Well, you worked that hard. Like that. You worked hard for that mellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You worked hard
You know,
for that.
And I take medication. Yeah. And then you have to take therapy to learn how to deal with the way you behave when you're like that.
Cognitive behavioral therapy.
You know.
Absolutely.
So, because you go like, wow, you know, I've destroyed my family. I've destroyed this, relationships, my own life and stuff. So it's good for people to know that you can check into places where there's help, you know? You don't have to give up.
And I think it's really brave of you to open up to that, because I think depression, I mean, it still has a stigma, but it's much more easily open and discussed. But it took, like, celebrities, like Demi Lovato coming out with her depression and having to go somewhere for her anorexia. And now it's like it took that to get it opened.
Right.
And so mental health became much more, which was shocking when Trump said that people with PTSD are weaker than others.
Is that what he said?
Oh, to a group of warriors in a warrior project. And I was like, ooh, bad move on his
part. You notice we don't get shocked by anything he says
anymore. No, we just don't even discuss it. But it's like I think depression and opening up and mental health is seen as now brave, which is great,
I guess so. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the thing is that you're out there, you feel alone.
You know how many other people are feeling this way?
Exactly. And there's help. And that's why rehabs are good, because there's groups of people. And when you're depressed or like on drugs or anything, the last thing you want to do is be alone.
Totally. And to be honest, depression is the only disease that makes you not want to cure it. So it's bizarre.
Yeah.
You don't want to cure yourself because you're so depressed.
Right.
So
it makes you want to destroy yourself, actually, right?
So you can't think that a depressed person can almost help themselves out, because that's the depression.
I know.
Being with other people is so helpful, and counselors, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it. But There's got to be an intervention sometime by the family, you know. And even when it's not drugs, if there's just unacceptable behavior, you got to have some kind of intervention.
And I've had that in my family. I think everyone has. Everyone knows someone who has somewhere gone through a breakdown, a family member, something where you have to literally pick them up. Right. And it's like, I'm so glad this is being discussed. I'm glad Hillary's talking about mental health. I think that's a constituency that's pretty large that hasn't been addressed in a long time. And I think discussing, especially for veterans, PTSD suddenly became appropriate to discuss. I mean, that was really embarrassing for people, the soldiers in Vietnam. And they call it shell shock. And they, you know, I think every soldier probably has gone through something like that. So it's a great thing that it's more openly discussed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree, you know, and people have to understand. And I think also with the PTSD is because there's so much suicide going on that people are realizing there's something behind this, you know.
It's funny. It's always been there. They have reports in World War II and Nam of these eyeballs that they don't move. They glaze over after shell shock. But no one had a name or no one was studying it. And now, and there was always these suicides, but now there's research.
Right.
And now there's money. And now there's an awareness, which is so helpful.
An awareness. Yeah. There you go. You know, and people are more aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And
more empathetic.
Yeah.
They're not robots. They're human beings.
And the thing is, I mean, they became the way they are for us.
Exactly.
You know what I'm
saying?
That's
the biggest sacrifice. And we just let them roam.
See, to me, that's a hero.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So, you know. But so at any rate, it's nice when people actually... you know, publicize what they do when they're celebrities and stuff so they can feel.
Yeah.
You know, the guy says, like, I don't know what peace feels like.
Yeah, and that's just so... every single human being can understand that feeling.
Right.
At some point in your life.
Yeah,
you know what
right?
I mean? So for him to have done that, kudos to Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
But seriously, that is big because it's not easy to just say... A lot of people, they go in for dehydration. You know what I mean? Air quotes. When really, there's some shit going down. So good for him for opening up.
Yeah.
But you see, it's the new generation doing that because that it's much more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's still, like you said, a lot of stigma with it.
Yeah,
with mental illness and stuff, and I think that's why we have so many homeless people, because I think most of them do have mental problems.
Absolutely.
But they're untreated.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think many of them were probably people like you and me that once lived a decent life, and then suddenly they're in the street.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you'll like this. Denver, Colorado, had so much money surplus from the recreational pot law, that it's going to $1.6 million is going to help, or billion? I think it's million. It's going to help homelessness in Denver. So that's how you take. Finally, money is going towards it, and they had so much more money than they needed. It's going towards homelessness.
There you go. You see, legalized.
Let's all move
pot.
To Denver.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny? This reminds me. My dad, when I was growing up in Israel, America was like a dream for everybody, right? So my dad came here to visit so he bought me like a jean jacket and then a few of those like where you saw on the jacket like kinds of like
patches.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You patched.
Oh, they were the coolest thing ever.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So one of them said legalized pot. And I never knew what it meant.
Did you think it meant like a pot and pan?
Yeah, or something. I didn't even know. I didn't even look it up. I'm like, what's legalized pot? You know, I didn't even understand
and now
legalized
look at
that point.
That's right. That's
you know?
Right.
So it's so funny, and I wore it, and little did I know.
Foreshadow.
2015, and nobody else probably knew either.
That's right. Everyone's like, look at this kid.
Yeah,
he's got some big words on his jacket. That's great.
Well, I wonder if it had the leaf on it.
I'm sure it did. I'm positive
it
did. Yes.
Maybe it did.
I'm sure. Well, good for your dad. He seems really cool.
He didn't know what
it
meant.
Yeah, no one knew what it meant.
Because he brought a few different ones, and that was one of them.
No, but those things are back. The patches, the pins,
really?
All of that look is back now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So you should grab that, get that jacket out. You'd be really cool.
Yeah, where am I going to find it? I think I have it like in a couple Halloween pictures. I think
that's cute.
Saved it when I was much younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it's still on there. That's funny.
Very cool.
Yeah, so legalized pot. We're going to get a chance to vote on it.
Yes.
November.
November. Remember, a surplus of money. Did everyone hear that in California?
Exactly. And
a
also,
surplus of money and a cooler, mellower group of people.
Exactly. And don't tell me it's a gateway drug because it's all bullshit, you know? And even if it is, you know, I mean, well, it's not. So I'm not going to say that, but because I'm sure it's not because people start cigarettes even earlier. Mm. And I think that's even a more gateway drug. Mm. Pot has never made me, well, it made me maybe in a position to experiment with other stuff, mm-hmm. but I never got hooked on anything because I never really liked anything like cocaine, right. Not my cup of tea.
Tea, not your cup of tea, right?
You know, mushrooms, all those things. Mm-hmm. You know, acid,
I think if you're gonna try those things, you're gonna try those things. It's not that pot's gonna let you try those things as
exactly.
a gateway. And if you like pot, I think that you aren't, if you like pot, you're probably someone that likes to relax. So I don't think
mellow.
Like I don't think you need like yeah. I don't see that being like LSD is next.
Yeah,
like, you
right.
know what I mean?
No.
I think pot's like you know if you like pot, you like to chill.
Exactly. Yeah. And why make people. Criminals for this stuff, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. although today it's a lot better and, you know, we have medical marijuana and stuff. But
and an inordinately amount of black men being charged for small amounts of marijuana, which have now led to huge overflow in the jails.
Yeah.
So things could be fixed quite easily if common sense came into play.
Yeah, I mean, the war on drugs when it comes to marijuana has been lost anyway.
I think the war on drugs was lost. I think so, too. I think and people affected it like a war instead of a disease. And if it came out of a war, there's no trust between police, which we are now seeing the results. There's no community. And it didn't do anything.
Yeah, right.
More drugs came in. You know, so if you see it as a disease and treat it with empathy, that might be a little bit better.
Yeah. But I don't know, disease. I mean, people can just people just demand to have cool drugs, you know?
Yeah, but if you're addicted, instead of going to jail, you know, rehabbing someone is so much better than just putting them in a cell.
Yeah, but
come out and do it again, you know?
Yeah, but they would put people behind bars even if they're not, like, hooked on it or anything, right? Like
exactly.
you said, with small amounts and everything. Put them in jail. I mean,
ridiculous.
What? For possessing a plant.
I know.
For crying out loud.
Did you see this one, the new video? Of course, there's always a new video, but a white cop goes after a black guy sitting on a porch. There was a, they said there was an attempted burglary in the neighborhood, and the body cam, you see him run up, jump the guy, punch him in the face, take him down. Turns out it was his house. That was his porch.
It was his porch.
Yes, he was waiting for his mom to let him in because it was locked. And he was like, what are you doing? I live here.
Wow.
So he's been stripped of his badge. And but that's what I'm saying. It's like the escalation of war. Yeah. Of like, this guy's sitting on a porch. It's his house.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. So that was the new video that everyone's looking at.
Yeah. I don't know what's happened. Maybe it's just, it always happened.
It always happened. Just cameras are new. Oh, yeah. Cameras are new. The violence is not. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, that's true. Most of it we don't really see.
Oh, Will Smith said that too. He was like, "It is not, nothing is new except for the cameras."
Yeah.
And it's true. We just get to see it now, thank God.
Yeah. Well, what can you do? It all comes down to the fact that people have to be, I think, accountable for their actions. And
that's why you have cameras.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, today you can't get away with shit anymore.
No, no. Which is good in some respects. London, you go anywhere in London, you have, I think if it was like 20 cameras on you at all times.
Yeah.
London has the most surveilled camera system on the streets.
Right.
So there was one incident where a woman was, some guy came up to her and threw acid on her face. And the driver was caught from when he left his house. Like the whole thing was videotaped.
Wow.
So London is like the most surveilled, but I'm sure that's what it's going to become.
It is here already.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm sure New York and yeah, I'm sure.
Every building you're in, every store you go to, every restaurant, everything is on tape, you know?
Yeah. So. And I think, I mean, that's, but London, I remember being in London being like, they're absolutely everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So people can really follow you.
Yeah,
London,
dude.
Right?
I'm doing such boring things.
Yeah, I know. Wow. All right, folks. Well, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Rebecca Metz, for calling in. Very fun guest. And let's see. Tomorrow is what? Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be here as usual, folks. Thanks, Story.
Of course.
As always. And thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.